Chapel. Please stand and worship with us.
Good morning, church family. How are you today? It is good to be here and worshiping together. I want to welcome you to our service today, especially if you are a guest. My name is Rob Zimmerman. I'm lead pastor here at Westgate, and just super delighted that you've chosen to worship here with us today. I have a few things that we want to make you aware of before we continue in worship this morning. First thing, though, is if you are a guest, again, my special welcome to you. Would love for you to take a moment and grab the connection card that you'll see in the pew in front of you. And if you are at home as well, worshiping online, want to encourage you to take a moment and fill out the connection card that is there as well. You can find it on a link directly below the live stream. But as you fill that out, if you're here on site, we would love you to take a moment, fill it out, and at the end of the service today, take it out to our guest center that is in the main lobby, and there you'll find a couple of hosts that would love to answer any questions you might have about the church. But you hand them that connection card, they will hand you a small gift to say thank you for being here and worshiping with us today. So again, we are grateful that you've chosen to worship worship here. Few things that we want to make sure you are aware of that is coming up on our schedule, things I'm super excited about. As you know, about a month ago, we went through some various classes together called Important Conversations. Many of them you participated in. And one of the main topics that we talked about was the idea of biblical sexuality. And as we wrapped up those classes, a lot of the feedback we got was, hey, we would love to discuss this more. It is such a big issue that is being discussed in our culture and in our churches and that many people are wrestling with and dealing with. So we're excited to have Dr. Christopher Yuan coming this next week to share with us, not only here in our services, but also with a seminar that'll be happening here at the church. So I want to make sure that you put this on your calendar. Dr. Yuan has an incredible testimony about how God has worked in his life in this area, and he has been going around the country at the Gospel Coalition Conference, at the Awana Discipleship Forum, and many other places, not only sharing his story, but helping the church to develop a biblical framework and understanding for how we address these issues. And so we want to encourage you to come. He'll be sharing in our services next Sunday. His parents are also coming, and they'll be a part of sharing his story. And then the following Saturday the 19th, we're going to be having a seminar that is open to our community, but also to many other churches in the area that we have invited. It'll take place here at the church from 9 a.m. until 12:30 on the 19th, and it is absolutely free. We want to encourage you to come and join us, and one thing that you can do that would help us to know how many people will be coming is to register for that event. You can do that by going to our events tab on westgatechapel.org, or you can just type in westgatechapel.org/important conversations. It's a very simple registration, but it just lets us know how many people are coming. So please be sure to check that out, and please be sure to be here next Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic time together. Next, I want to remind you, if you weren't with us a couple of weeks ago, we had our annual meeting, and we were able to talk about and celebrate just some of the incredible ways that God has been so faithful to our church over these past couple of years of the Unfinished Generosity Initiative. If you weren't with us, you didn't get to hear that at the end of the year, we were able to transfer about $440,000 into our Unfinished Fund account to continue to go towards completing the projects that we believe God has called us to. And so we are excited about that. And one of the big pieces of that is our worship center refresh of redoing this room. And you'll see some of the pictures on the screen. We had those nights where we came together and you got to see not only the materials, but the pictures of what we believe it will look like. Very exciting stuff. But one of the problems we shared at the annual meeting is also that with the pandemic, we have seen costs raise over 30% when it comes to not only materials, but also labor. And so what that has done has caused an increase, obviously, in what we would need to complete the project. Right now, where it stands, we probably need another $300,000 in order to complete it. And so as we continue to give, you know, as we talked over the throughout our initiative together of Unfinished, generosity is not a two-year thing. Generosity is a lifestyle. And what we want to continue to encourage you always is to give according to how God has called you to. But as a church, every dollar that comes in, we're going to continue to funnel those extra dollars into the Unfinished account so that we can continue to finish the projects that God has called us to. We want to let you know that as we move ahead, the worship center refresh can be done in phases. And so you may see over the next few months, small pieces of this begin to take shape and us begin some of the work in here. But we will continue to fulfill our pledge and commitment, which is we will not take on debt, but only use the resources that we have available to us. So we wanted to make sure that you are aware of what was going on with that. Lastly, one of the things that you have probably heard about, you've seen it definitely in the news, and maybe you've heard a few words that our international workers in the Ukraine have had to leave the country. You have seen in the news how the Russian military has kind of come and surrounded Ukraine, and so the State Department was encouraging U.S. citizens to leave. So Steve and Christy, as well as Josh Cook, this past week left the country. You might have heard some of the drama that right before they were supposed to leave, Christy tested positive positive for COVID and wasn't able to go, but praise God, a few days later she tested negative and was able to get on a plane. So they are here in the States, and I believe Josh Cook is actually either traveling or going to be traveling back here to Toledo. They have plans and tickets to go back in a month from now, but that as well could change based on what's happening on the ground. And so I share that with you this morning for a couple of reasons. One, we want to continue to pray for our international workers. No doubt they are here, but their hearts are back in that country with their friends and the people that they have been ministering to. So we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. We especially want to continue to pray for the national workers that are still there in the country with so much that is unsettled. Christy wrote in their email about one of the national workers that is there right on the front lines where the military, Russian military, is across the border, and how their response to them was, "Thank you for praying for us, but we are not afraid because we've been living in a war-torn country for 8 years, but we know and we believe that God is good and he will take care of us and the gospel must go forward." And that is a beautiful thing to hear. And so we want to continue to pray for those who are still there, and that in this time of unsettledness, it would be a time where people are looking and reaching out to God. And so we want to be praying for them for those purposes this morning. So as we continue in our worship, would you join me in prayer as we offer our time and our service to the Lord, and also pray for our international workers. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for just the opportunity that we have had to gather together today and to worship you. We want to thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us as a church over these past many years. Thank you, Father, for the way in which you have provided. We were able to celebrate over these last couple of years the payoff of our debt and your faithfulness and provision in that. Father, we thank you for the way that you have been so faithful in walking with each of us through what has been a very difficult season. We thank you, Father, for the many testimonies of just how you have been speaking into people's hearts through this mental health series and speaking directly into their lives. Lord, you remind us that you faithfully walk with us in each season of life. And Father, because of that, we come to you and we ask, Lord, that you also would continue in your faithfulness as we lift up and we pray for Steve and Christy and also Josh Cook, all of our international workers who have had to leave the Ukraine. Lord, we just pray that you would be with them, that Father, you would give them wisdom in how to continue to encourage those who are back in the country. Father, we pray that you would continue to use those that are still present in this time of upheaval and unsettledness, that Father, many people's hearts would be drawn to you and that we would see a harvest of people coming to know your Son, Jesus Christ, because of it. Father, all of these things that happen in this world do not happen outside of the boundaries of your hands. And so, Father, we pray that you would hold back war in that country. Father, we pray that you would provide protection over them. And most importantly, God, we pray that the message of your Son would go forward. We thank you again that we can gather together and worship you here today. So center our hearts on you. And God, I pray that you'd be glorified as we continue to worship you for your faithfulness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to have a seat. We're going to spend the next few moments preparing our hearts, our minds, our souls to celebrate communion together. And our ushers are available with our communion elements this morning. If you weren't able to pick one up on the way in, just raise your hand and they'll come around and pass one of those out to you. As we sit within the truths that we just sang, that we are children of God, may we rest within those truths, that we have been set free because what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that we are children of God, we have been redeemed, made new. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But be still and know that I am God." I invite you to be still, to rest within the truth that you are a child of God. To be still and know that we are in need of a Savior. To be still and know who God is. He is our Creator. He crafted us. He knit us together. To be still and know that Jesus loves us so much that He came, having all of our sins placed upon Him on the cross. Be still and know.
I invite you to be still, and we'll take a few moments of just quiet. Prepare your hearts. Through communion, we are reminded that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he gathered in the upper room with his disciples, knowing that all things were completed. He took bread and broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." So I invite you to take and eat. And then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks to the Father. And he said to the disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant shed for you with my blood for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Take and drink. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you invite us to be still and to know and be remember your gift of life. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness. We thank you, Jesus, for communion with you, but also communion together as your church. May you continue to draw us, help us to be more aware of who you are and who we are. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Washed in his blood.
Sing it out.
This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Savior,
worthy. Amen. Declare this together. Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Every voice. The grave is overcome, and we are yours. He is faithful. Oh, faithful are you, Lord. Faithful are you. Overcome, and we are yours. Sing sovereign. Sovereign are you. Oh, sovereign are you, Lord. Oh, sovereign are you, Lord. The grave is overcome, and we are yours. Sing worthy. On this earth to do just that, to glorify your name. And God, may we not forget that, Lord, you made us in your image. You made us with you in mind, and I just can't get over that. Lord, there's someone here today who's just struggling with the concept means to be loved by you, be cherished by you, to think that the God of the universe is for us, for him or herself. Lord God, I pray that you would just wake up their hearts and their minds today to realize that, God, without you, of course we are not worthy, but God, you tell us we are worthy because of you. It's because of you, because of your power, because of your might, because of who you are, that we are worthy of your love, Father. Speak to us, God. Speak to us that truth this morning. Everyone here. It's the name of Jesus Christ that all God's people said.
All right, good morning. Grab a seat. We ready? Good? Awake? Loving the snow? Man, I was ready for the blizzards of all blizzards. We got, what, 8 inches? Disappointment. Maybe. Actually, I almost broke my back shoveling, so I'm not complaining. All right, my name is Steve. If we haven't met before, I'm the pastor of student ministry here. You'll probably see me hanging out mostly with our high school students. And I get to speak with you this morning. And it is an honor and a privilege, but it also is a little disappointing, to be completely honest. Because, if you didn't know, we have had a class going on called Managing Emotional Mayhem for the last 2 weeks. This is the third week of it. Renee Johnson and Dave Johnson have been teaching that. Our students and all of you have been invited to that, and it has been phenomenal. So I'm a little disappointed that I'm missing the third session today. If you haven't checked it out, you can. It's first service is in the refinery, and second service is in the chapel. And it has been great as we work through some of the emotions that we have and the way that even God has designed us and looking on how we can manage those and just move to a healthier state with those things. And so a little plug for that. They've been doing great. I've really been enjoying it. This morning, though, we are in the last week of our series. Cue the picture. There it is. Let's talk about it. As we work through some mental health issues and these ideas, and I hope it has been for me just really beneficial hearing, talking through them, seeing what Scripture has to say on them, hearing different stories. I loved when Donna, if you were here, came up and just spoke as she's a counselor and gave some words of wisdom there. Just been really beneficial. And so I hope you have been getting a lot from that. This week, just like the others, there's a countdown clock. You guys don't see it, but it's up there. And it says that I get 35 minutes, maybe a couple extra if the spirit goes, you know. Anyways, well, we won't talk about that. But there's a time limit, and so there's only so much that I'm going to cover in this, and at sometimes you're going to be like, man, I wish there was a little bit more said here or a little bit more elaborated, and that's probably always the case. But the hope is that even through maybe the lack of time or too much time or my mishaps over words, that God speaks through me, that God speaks to you, that brings you to an understanding of maybe a truth that you've never known before, or maybe Peter writes, I love it, in his second letter, he says that he's telling you these things, he's writing you these things to remind you of the truth that you already know. And so today, some of you might go, oh, I already know that. Great. Isn't that why we come to church so often, is to be reminded of the truth that we confess and believe? I know for me, often I need to hear that reminded. Yes, this is true. Yes, this is truth. Yes, this is why I believe it. So we are going to be talking about negative self-image today. And some would say, hey, this is a mental health issue, or no, negative self-image isn't a mental health issue, but it leads to mental health issues. But we all agree that if not taken care of, when we have this negative self-image, it can lead to all sorts of things, statistically speaking, that a negative self-image then often leads to anxiety, into depression, into isolation, into loneliness. Because of how I view myself actually matters, and then it starts to actually trickle into my relationships with others, my relationship with God. And so a negative self-image is something we should talk about and look at when dealing with students. This is a pervasive issue that is a part of teen culture, but it's really a part of our American culture. I mean, advertisements have been built to help you understand that you aren't that great, that how you look could be helped with just a little bit of cream right under the eyes, right? Or this diet or this gadget, you'll get that body because you're not happy with the one you got, right? That's no good. Or maybe they'll go and they'll sell you something on maybe to help you with your abilities or your intellect. Recently, I've seen apps that like say things, if you just play this app 10 minutes a day, your IQ will go up 30 points by the end of the month. I mean, I kind of sometimes think, oh, I'd like that. I mean, if you didn't know my ability to spell and write sentences are maybe a little lacking. Actually, my mother's in the audience and she could attest to that. It's been a challenge since I've been a little kid. And so there's often times that as I'm writing, man, I'm like, I got some shame with my ability to communicate that way. Some of you write so beautifully. Me, I'm atrocious. In fact, as I'm writing the word atrocious, spell check doesn't even know what I'm trying to write. Have you had that happen? I have to say it into Siri so that then I can get the word. I mean, this is a true statement. I'm reading over my sermon this morning up in my office. And when I wrote atrocious, it was so bad that it auto-corrected. And it says, I struggle with spelling and grammar. They are erotic. Yep. And I kind of joke about it, but to be honest, we do have things that we don't like about ourselves, deep things that we hold on to, that we focus on. A negative self-image is when we focus on our faults and our weaknesses, or we distort our failures and our imperfections. And so when I fail at something, instead of saying, oh, I failed at that, it's I always fail. When I'm not good at something, instead of just going, yeah, I'm not very good at that, it's I'm not good at anything. You do that? You ever start to take our faults or failure and you start just growing them in your mind? This is my life. I'm a failure. I fail at everything. And then all of a sudden that starts to creep into things like, man, who am I? Am I good at anything? Can I be loved? Like all of a sudden it starts to become identity issues. And this happens with our intellect, with you know, kind of our maybe natural abilities that we have, but this also happens with my very real physical body, right? You are not just a spirit. You are both a spirit and a physical body. And so sometimes we look at our physical bodies and we don't like them. Sometimes it's just, I don't like how tall I am. I don't like that my skin breaks out. I don't like how long my nose is. But sometimes it gets deep, right? For some of you, I mean, there is a real pain at the relationship to you and your body. And you're not happy with it. And it feels disjointed, or there's shame with this. Maybe some of that's been from birth. Or maybe some of that's just, man, when you injure yourself and your body isn't working, or you have a disease and your body isn't working right anymore, and it's a challenge to start to look at yourself with worth. Maybe when I built myself up that, oh, I have this big, strong body and now it's failing me. Or maybe it's something that's been done to your body. It's probably some of you in this room that others have mistreated your body, abused your body. And now when you look at yourself, that's all you can see is that abuse and how they treated you. So my encouragement, my hope for today is that I want to have you think of two truths that we see in Scripture about who we are, about this self-image that we have. And one we're going to start with is Psalms 139. You know where it says meditate on his word day and night? Psalms 139 is a great place to start. There is so much depth and beauty to it. And so I'm just going to read a section of it for you this morning. Psalms 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eye saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The truth that we see is that God created us. Like, he did more than just assemble us. Maybe if you ever worked on kind of a factory line and you're plugging your piece in to the car as it's going down, you're making, it's more than just this assembly line put together version of you. It says that God knew you before. Before you were, God knew you. He had the idea of you before you were you. It says that he knit you together. He wove you together. From the very beginning, we see that God created you. He handmade you. This is such an important truth. I've actually started to change some of my language when I talk about God because I think it is so vital for us to understand it. I used to say things like God, and then I would talk about God. But kind of we're in a post-Christian world. God means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And so often now when I describe God, I'll say Creator God, or the Creator God of the entire universe. Because I want to frame what I'm saying about him to know who he is. He is the creator of all things, the entire world coming down even to me and you as an individual. So God makes us. He creates us, it says. But he does more than just that. He does more than just create us. It says this in Genesis 1:27. This should be nothing new for most of you. So God created man. In his own image, he created them, male and female. He creates you by hand. He has the idea for you. But then he also says it's that you image him. That when he creates you, you are his reflection, his image. That word there that's used is sometimes even used as a way of talking about like an idol that would have been carved for a god. It was that representation. You are God's representation here. You are his image. And often we say, because you are God's image, you have worth and value. Where do we get that from? Genesis 9:6, we have Noah, right? This is right after the flood. He steps off of the ark. God has sent the flood because if we remember when it's talking about the world, it is evil. The hearts of man are wicked continuously. The world is corrupted. And so God has to cleanse it. And he takes Noah and his family, and as he brings them out of that, he reminds them of some things. Here's one of the things he reminds them of. Genesis 9:6, whoever sheds human blood, by humans shall their blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made mankind. Why shouldn't you kill one another? Why shouldn't you murder one another? Because as mankind, you are God's image. James, Jesus' brother, puts it this way in when he writes, and he talks about the tongue and how it has all sorts of power. And in it, he says in James 3:9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. This should not be. Why aren't we cursing at one another? Why aren't we killing them? Because we are image bearers, and that means we have worth and value that is intrinsic, meaning it's always there from the very beginning. It's infused into us. This is why when it says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've what? Done it for me. Done it for God. Because we are his image. When you start to think about my negative self-image and that I don't think I'm right, I'm just a mess, I can't do anything right, maybe God made a mistake, all of this is not a negative self-image. I would say it's a negative God image. Because whose image are you to reflect? Your own? No, actually we see from Scripture, you're to reflect God. And so when we start to go and we look at all of the things that we don't like about ourselves, whether that's very real, tangible, physical things or my abilities, my intellect, it's really going and saying to God, like, what are you doing? Right? This is a knock on God. It's not a negative self-image. It's a negative God image. And this image that we bear, you can't earn it, and you can't lose it. Notice that all of those passages are post the fall of mankind, right? So we have Genesis 1, which is they're created in his image, they're image bearers, right? They're in a garden, it's perfect, it's good. We have sin, and that corrupts things, but it doesn't take away our status as image bearers. It's not as though we somehow lose it. Because we never earned it. It was given. It was infused in us from the very start of our life. I was out to eat a couple days ago with some of our staff. We went to a Mexican restaurant for lunch as we were talking about some ministry plans and where we're moving forward. And as we're sitting there, we ordered food, and then they started bringing it out, and a couple of the ladies had ordered fajitas, right? And you can hear the sizzle and the steam on the plate, and they sit it down in front, and one of the ladies, she takes her hair and she pulls it back into a ponytail, and she says, I don't want to have fajita hair. I obviously have no idea. None. Literally no idea what she's talking. I'm like, fajita hair? What's fajita here? I've never heard of this. Some of you are shaking your heads. Well, because the fajitas are steaming and still kind of cooking, right? As you sit over top of it, I guess your hair just absorbs all of that smell. And so she's like, I don't want to go smelling like, you know, peppers and onions and chicken the rest of the day. So she's trying to pull it back. And I kind of get it. I'm like, yeah, my beard kind of gets that way. But it was going to infuse. It was now going to be a part of her hair. She didn't want that. And while you can wash, obviously, fajita hair out or fajita beard, you can wash that out. You can't wash out God's image in your life, right? You cannot wash that out. It is given to you because you are human and he chose to do it. And so when we go through and we look at ourselves, we have shame over who we are. Or I just can't ever get anything right. And we focus on this. We have to remember that we are his image. That we are his creation, that we are his works, and they're good works. And we know them, as David says, full well. You have knit me together in my mother's womb. If you're a parent or a grandparent, aunt, uncle, or have any voice in a student or kid's life, this is something you need to start instilling in them. You are created with value and worth. You are not an accident. You are not put it together on some assembly line. You are not an afterthought. God did not make a mistake. He designed you. He created you. In his image, you are his representative. But now I'm going to get to kind of truth too. And it might seem a little odd. It might kind of teach students sometimes about statements that seem like they're a paradox, paradoxical statement. Meaning that when you first look at them, they kind of seem absurd, or how can this be true? They seem to contradict each other. This is things that we say like less is more. Wait, how can less be more? Or deep down, you're really shallow. Think about that one for a second. Wait, deep down, I'm really shallow? So we're going to hold one truth, that God is creator of all things, that he has designed and created us beautifully. And because of that, and because he's given us his image, we have worth and value, and we should treat others that same way with worth and value. We should treat ourselves with worth and value because of that. But then we also have sin. And sin is more than just, I drive a minivan. Any other dads out there loving their minivans? Love the minivan. I also love to listen to podcasts. And so a lot of times as I'm driving along, I'm listening to podcasts, and maybe the engine doesn't quite sound as smooth as it used to. And so I just kind of crank up the podcast. Maybe you do that with music, and I'm like, nah, just kind of go away, because that works. But my van over the last maybe weeks, months, I don't know, a year, man, it's just been not running smooth. And so I'm kind of just, let me ignore it. And in fact, I kind of get used to it. Of course my engine's clunking. That's just normal. Turn on the music, you'll forget about it. I take the van in to go get some new tires because snow apocalypse is coming. And the guy's like, you know, there is a knocking in your engine. I'm like, oh, I've been listening to sports radio, like those Bengals, huh? He goes, no, you have a real issue. Like, I'm like, what kind of real issue? Like, real issue as next year I can look at this? He's like, no, you need, like, tomorrow, don't drive it. So I take it in, and he's examining it, and my timing belt is all messed up. And I'm no mechanic, but I start looking up, and timing belt's kind of important. See, you mechanics are all like, yeah, dummy. It's keeping your engine on time and valves and pistons and everything else that's going. And when that breaks, or if that would break, if that goes bad, you can blow your whole engine. And so after several hundred dollars, of course, they fix it. And I get the car back, and I get in it, and I start driving it. I have to turn down the music and the podcast for a minute. I'm like, this is driving so quiet. There's no clunking or clicking. It's so smooth now. Even everything. I'm like, this is how my van was supposed to run? But I had honestly probably went way too long. If I'm going to be asking for a new car here, you'll know why. But I had just grown accustomed to the issues, to the faults, to the brokenness. I think we sometimes do that. We live, and we know it when it's pointed out to us, but we live in a world that is been ravished by sin. I mean, every part of it. I mean, that includes like my mind, my body. Romans 8 puts it this way. Some of you probably know this. It says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subject it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Creation, all of it, has been subject to frustration, to decay, to death. And we're living in it. We're living in it every day. Some of you may be experiencing that on a very personal level with who you are, how you see yourself. And you go, I know about brokenness, Steve. And you're like, you don't need to preach that one. I live it. I know it. Paul says that it's creation itself is groaning as if in the pains of childbirth. My mom, growing up, was really, I say now, ahead of her time. She cared about GMOs back in the 80s and 90s before any of us knew what GMOs were. We were getting grass-fed beef and free-range chicken eggs. She was grinding some of her own grain. I mean, today she would probably own a blog and have thousands and millions of followers. Back then, they're like, what are you doing? But one of the things she was forward thinking on as well, and maybe this is a little more common, is that she had my three sisters at home. She had home births for them. And I remember her telling us and explaining it, and over time it's kind of encapsulated into one idea that, oh, your sisters are going to be born at home, not at the hospital. Okay, great. You're going to get to see them right away. That sounds like great for a kid. I'm like, I'm excited. I'm going to get a baby sister. My parents' bedroom and our bedroom share a wall. So I remember waking up, and the groans of childbirth seemed more like they were killing my mother. It's like someone, she's going to die in there. Some of you ladies that have had children like can talk about that much more than me, right? That the pains of childbirth are excruciating. This is what Paul says our world is like. The world that you and I are a part of and live in. Groaning. Waiting, because this currently is broken. Psalms 51:5 says it this way, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This isn't just when we talk about original sin, right? We are born into sin and with sin. This isn't just a theological idea. This is reality. This is practical reality. That who you are, while yes, created, designed, held together by God, he has also allowed sin to take its toll on us. This is where the paradox comes in, because I have to hold both of these. That yes, I am created. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I know it full well. And yet I also know that I am groaning in the pains of childbirth because of the corruption of sin in my world and in me personally. So what do we do with those two? How do we live with knowing both of those? Job, I was thinking of a verse that I learned first service. It just kind of popped into my head. And I don't know the translation in NIV, but I think the King James Version just stuck out to me. He says, as he is really being, I mean, Satan has gave him everything he's got, right? Remember, Job is this righteous man, and God has allowed Satan to destroy his family, take his livelihood. His body is diseased and broken. Job says, even if you slay me, I will still praise you. Even if you slay me, I will still trust you. That's easier to stand up here this morning and say that, but I know that's a hard reality. When who we are is broken by sin, is falling apart, how can I trust God? We get a lot of images of God as the potter, someone making a jar out of clay. Isaiah 64:8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hands. What do we do when, man, just this negative thoughts of who I am, what I look like, my abilities just start to overwhelm? I have to go back to truth that God speaks about me, believing that he is ultimately in control, that he as God has the right and ability to shape the clay pot. And that clay pot might be fragile, and it might even crack at times, but that does not change that God is ultimately in control and that I can trust him with who I am, even the broken parts of who I am. Adam came up here and we did communion. I love actually that we did. We were talking, doing communion first, because I think it sets the stage for this, that Jesus comes into the world and his body is broken for my broken body. For my broken body, the way that sin has ravished my body, who I am as a person has ravished our world. God sends his son and he breaks his own body to restore us, to redeem us, to transform us, to make us back and get us closer into his image. He is not only are we being created anew, he is continuing that process until, as Paul says, at one point it will be the redemptions of our body, the promise of a new body that isn't broken anymore, a new mind that isn't broken anymore. Can I trust God with those? 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We're struggling with negative self-image. One, I need to trust God that he is the master potter, that he is in control, that he ultimately is, even in all my brokenness, healing and redeeming. I also then need to embrace that we are not all the same, right? And that's a good thing. We're not promised all the same gifts and abilities. In fact, we're promised the opposite. The scripture says that he gives out, the Spirit gives out the giftings as the Spirit wants. And so you're going to be given out different giftings because he is gracious and merciful to us, and it's to be used in our body, used for the good of others, but it's not going to be the same. Can we stop comparing one another? Can you stop comparing yourself to others? Instead of focusing on my faults and the things that I struggle with, can I rejoice in the gifting that God has given me? And I might not have all of them, but that goes back to the trust issue. That's okay. We need to stop projecting onto one another and expect them to have all of the gifting. We need to stop. Man, I'm a student pastor, so I'm always talking about our students. Parents, I got two boys, and I'm already doing it. I'll be completely honest. I'm comparing the two. Why can't you be more like? Yeah? Instead of calling out the unique ability, the way that God has created my two sons differently, and then is gifting them differently, I need to applaud the difference, not point it out. Boy, that's hard as a parent. Especially when you go, boy, you're kind of lacking over here, right? But if we want to help build people up so that they're not looking at themselves as failures and full of faults, we need to stop expecting that everyone will look the same. We won't. Ben, you guys can come on up. And then the last one, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Even in my brokenness, even in your brokenness, even in your self-doubt, even when you look at yourself and go, ah, I'm unworthy, I'm unlovable, and God doesn't see you that way. You're his handiwork. You're his prized creation. You are the centerpiece. You are his image bearer. And he has good works laid out for you to walk in, even on this side of eternity, even in the broken world that we live in. The good works that God has for you are for right now. It's not some future thing. It's right now that you can be used by God. And you might not have all the intellect in the world. And you might not have all the social skills. And you might not be the most beautiful person. You might not be the best athlete. It doesn't matter. Through God and his redemption that he does on the cross, and then he gives you his spirit to empower you into a spirit-filled life that is going to then glorify God through you as an individual. Hit home for me as, just like all of you, you know, you struggle with self-doubt, the negative view of yourself, the way you just don't stack up, and you wish you were different. You wish you had different abilities. Maybe I wish I had a different look. But resting and knowing that God is creator, and I can trust that. And yeah, sin has also left me broken. But if I can put my faith in Jesus, he carries my brokenness. He heals my brokenness. And he gives me new life. Would you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for the work on the cross. Thank you that we have life in you. Thank you that you are known as healer, not just creator, but also healer, as you heal us. Would we be able to trust you in that? Would we be able to see you? Help us to have faith that you're a work in us, that you have good works for us to step into. In your name, amen.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal joy I own, in brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I chance when I stand in your love.
As you leave, would you know that you can stand in his love, a love that has knit you together in your mother's womb, that knew you, that created you, that designed you fearfully and wonderfully. And yeah, there is pain and brokenness, and I mean real pain and brokenness in our lives. And yeah, as we sang, and that can't stand a chance. God's redeemed us. He is redeeming us and making all things new. We'd love to pray for you. If you need prayer, right out the doors is our prayer room. We'd love to do that for you. And then also, if you're struggling with this negative self-image of yourself, man, would you talk to somebody? Would you find a brother or sister to remind you of the truth of who you are? And maybe that's in counseling. Maybe that's just with a friend. But man, it's so vital to remember that you are created by our loving God and endowed with his image. Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next Sunday.